This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Da 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 da. Not rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor richer. Just kidding. Definitely richer. Da 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 da.
Do grand. Oh, let's 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 do grand. With the disco flute grand.
Like the black birds, I'ma do it fluid.
Hey, everyone. It's that time again. It's Richer and the Mailman.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and again this week we have to start off with some really sad news. Marco is dead.
Marco is dead?
He's dead.
Is he, though?
Marco, I'm pretty sure.
Did they show the funeral?
They showed the funeral. They didn't show us the body, but they definitely showed us the funeral.
No, you're right. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. He's dead.
So yeah, so that's what we're staring down. Also, possibly the death of a dream. I don't know. Either way,
death of several dreams, I'd say.
Yeah. As you probably already know, we talk about Richer. I'm always gonna do that.
Talk about ourselves.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Talk about my beard.
Talk about his beard. We give tips for success in life. And we also talk a lot about Better Call Saul, which is a spinoff of Breaking Bad, as you already know. So, there's a bunch of spoilers.
Yes. If you are listening to this,
you
have not watched Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, then you should stop listening. Actually, no. Don't stop listening.
Yeah.
Because you don't really need to watch it. Our show's more entertaining anyway. It's kind of ironic that we're doing a show about their shows. Their show should be about our show.
I think so. I think the fact that like that's the fuel for our show, they should really feel like proud of that. You know? Yeah. Take some pride in what they've what they mean to the world. Either way though, we talk about Better Call Saul and we talk about other things. And sometimes it's mixed in. Sometimes there's a bunch at the end. I don't know. We don't know how this is going to go. It's just free-formed.
We've never met each other until just now.
So. Yeah.
It's always spontaneous.
So, of course, introductions are needed. I'm Josh Richer. And you are?
I am Jeff. A.K.A. Jeffrey.
Oh, hello, Jeffrey. Can I call you Jeffrey, or which you prefer?
I kind of like both names. I really started to hate my first name. I just really resent my parents for giving me such a crappy name that has no meaning to posterity or antiquity. Which is the one that's before me?
I believe antiquity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jeffrey is at least like more classy sounding. And I've been called Jeffrey maybe less than 1% of the time. So it's time to switch it up. You know, I'm getting older. Jeffrey.
I think that's a good choice. I mean, you know, this being... I know a lot of Jeffs and Jeffreys. And, they always get called Jeffs, a lot of them. But, you know, you have to take control of it and say, no, it's Jeffrey.
Well, I don't believe in doing that. I mean, if you want to shorten someone's name and they don't want you to shorten it, well, fuck them. You know why? Because I don't have to say your whole name. I can say a part of it and you know who I'm talking about. The only reason we have names is because we know, so the person talking knows who they're talking to. So if someone's like, oh, you know, Josh, and they're like, oh, no, it's Joshua. You know what? Fuck you. I'm never talking to you again. I can call any Joshua Josh, and that's just the way it is.
I agree. And I don't do that, obviously. And, you know, I wouldn't do that to you. Like, I didn't do it to you now. I mean, people call me, you know. I just kind of started calling myself Josh.
Yeah. It's shorter. I mean, if people want to call me Jeffrey, then that's cool. I want them to want to call me a name. I don't want them to. I don't want to force them on to calling me something.
Well, no,
you know what
I,
that is, that's one step above giving yourself a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname, and you can't choose what people call you.
It's not up to you.
Without society, you have no name. They are responsible for your name, not the other way around.
I wholeheartedly agree, and that's why I've become actually you'll like this, all right, Jeffrey.
Yes.
A lot of people call me, or a lot of people used to call me by my last name,
including me.
But yeah, how did you know that? We just met.
Yeah, but when we started the podcast, you're like, oh, I'm Josh Richer. And I was like, Richer, that's a wicked cool name. I'm going to call you that.
I agree. You really, I think you really made my name something.
Yeah.
You gave it purpose. Now it's been there for like 30 episodes of a podcast.
Look, Josh is a dime a dozen. How many Richers do you know? Zero.
I know a bunch, but...
Do they go by Richer, though? No, they go by Auntie or Dad or
that's
whatever.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
There's only one Richer. There's only one the mailman, and that's me.
You know that's what? Right. You're a mailman.
What about Jeff or Jeffrey? You can call me the mailman. Because there's only one mailman unless you work for the post office. But nobody who works for the post office is listening to this, because if they were, I'd have been fired a long time.
That's very true. A very long time ago, you would have been fired, and it would have been tough to get another job. I feel like.
Yeah, I would have to change the name to Richer and the Deadbeat Drug Abusing Criminal, or possibly Richer and the Prisoner.
Oh.
Because I would have resorted to some sort of crime that landed me in jail.
I'm glad nobody from the post office listens, because that would really make producing this show a lot more costly and time consuming.
Yeah, it would change the whole fabric of what's going on here.
Or you'd have to do parts over the phone, and that would be like, I mean, you know, you're not ODB.
I can only do like 2 minutes at a time. You'd hear a little thing beeping in saying 5 seconds left, and I wouldn't have enough time to get out my joke.
I would hope. If you could get one out in 5 seconds, that would be like a really good send-off.
And the story for every break when I came back from break would be, so Jeff, what did you do for the break? I'd be like, well, I got butt raped. Yes, we know. Did anything else happen? No.
No.
That's all that happens. That's my life now.
Well, eventually I wouldn't be rape.
Yeah, I feel like I have a pretty face. I'd probably be dolled up. I'd probably be one of those tranny guys.
Yeah.
I would envision myself as like a tranny bitch.
And if you're anything like me, you like take pride in at least what you're doing and what your purpose and, you know, your world around you is. And if you're just like ass slut, then, you know.
You might as well embrace it. You might as well be the best one on the block.
Yeah. I don't know. That's why I hope not to go to prison, and that none of them hear this.
Yes.
And that nobody from your place of employment, which is a Dick's Sporting Goods,
that we're hoping. The post office is the reason why nobody would listen to it. Is the same reason why the post office is in trouble, because they don't understand the internet. We're still dealing with paper, so. They don't listen to podcasts. They read, like, you know, weekly newsletters or some crap. They read, like, Providence Phoenix.
I just got my newsletter on Better Call Saul, which I watched after I taped it. No, they could DVR shit. DVR is not an internet thing. But they would say taped. They would say taped for sure.
Taped that broadcast.
No, I didn't. Oh, now I'll have to wait until the summer.
When's that rerunning? And it's not on the paper. You know, I go to my grandmother's house, and, you know, she has cable set up. She's got the guide and everything. And me and my sister have tried to teach her at least 35 times how to use the guide. And I go over there, and it's like the funniest thing in the world. The newspaper is opened up on the couch, to the TV section.
Yep.
I cannot believe they even print that section anymore. Like, people need to go to the paper to look up what's on television. It's amazing.
It's a life I'm glad, you know, I've left behind.
Yeah.
Because it was really terrible. It's like if you forgot to get the newspaper on Sunday, your alternative was to buy a TV guide, and they were somehow like weird.
They were like a week behind.
Yeah.
Or somehow then the paper would come out and it would just say to be announced
all the time.
Like the programming wasn't in on time when they had to release the paper, so it was just to be announced. And you just what am I going to watch? Nothing.
And in today's world, the way like channels like VH1 actually like, well, I doubt your grandma was watching VH1, but well, that's really what it comes down to, right? Because she watches
Tosh.0.
She watches Tosh.0, so she like goes around the cable. It's not like she's just like other grandmas I've known where it's like, oh, I'm just on channel 12 now.
No, she will watch whatever someone tells her to watch. If she watches a show and someone says this show is good, she'll watch that show, even if it's like Vampire Diaries. If she hears Ellen DeGeneres say, oh, I love Vampire Diaries, she'll go to the newspaper, look it up, and then watch Vampire Diaries.
She is a... Yeah. Your grandma, she's cool. She's a hip chick. That's why I've always loved her company.
Yeah, you and my grandmother.
We've had
the old gang.
Yeah, we've had some good times. We had some good times. But you know, bitches be clinging. Okay, Jeff. So, oh wait, hold on. I got the corrections guy walking in. It's that like ugly one who's got like that. His eyes are too far apart and like he's kind of gingerly. Hey. Yeah, thanks.
Tell him I said hello.
Jeff says hi. Yeah, I it's funny. I feel like I'm getting them wrong just so I can see you. Yeah, I'll see you.
You gotta be careful. He really likes you.
It's cool though. I mean, he's a nice guy. You know, again, I just vibe well with people.
Was there a long list?
No, actually, not very much at all. The one thing from last week was you said that my dog was named after the singer of Gun N' Roses.
Gun N' Roses?
Yeah, you said Gun. I listened to it like four times. I didn't believe him at first.
Why would I say Gun N' Roses?
I have no idea. It's a minor slip up. I mean, I do that all the time. I make up words. I made up several words.
And Megan?
It's okay. And also related to it, they kind of combined it. He's actually named after Eddie Murphy's character from Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny because Axel Foley and Axel Rose, they spell their names differently, don't they?
They do, I think. I don't know.
One is AXL, and one is AXEL.
I've never seen Axel Foley's name written. I've just heard it. Heard it said.
How is your dog's name spelled?
It's AXL.
Okay, so it's definitely Axel Rose.
Oh.
Only Axel Rose would be a big enough douchebag to just say, you know what? I don't need any vowel in that second part of my name. I'm just going to let the X roll into the L like a tool. Look up Axel Foley. You got a computer. Google it.
Get on the Googs.
Well, I believe the corrections guy back in here. He can tell you.
Okay. You know what? He'll. Well, we'll talk about it next week. I mean, you know, I don't want him to be around too long.
So when Axel walks into the room, do you go bam 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 ba dam bam 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 puppy?
I don't do that, but I think of that. But a lot of times, well, and I kind of change it up though. A lot of times, I move on to that next part in it, like without doing that part. So it's just like dun 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 dun. Yeah. You gotta change it up. If you don't, you'll go crazy.
Axel Foley, AXEL. Ooh.
But now I'll change it up. Now that I realize that, you know, that's not the case, when he walks in, I will just hear the beginning of Welcome to the Jungle. And then I will inexplicably get up and start yelling and doing the wave and drinking beers. In my sports jersey.
Do you still like them? They're terrible.
I love Guns N' Roses.
Weird. It's a weird thing to love.
Well, yeah, so...
It's a weird thing to love non-ironically. If you love it ironically, like kind of how I love, Friends.
That's the lamest thing I've ever heard. Not the Friends part. If you love Guns N' Roses ironically, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's the other way around, buddy.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, Guns N' Roses, they're so good. These songs totally hold up nowadays.
They do! You know what? This isn't about Guns N' Roses. You know what this is about? All right? This is about a man named Jimmy McGill who lost his way.
Slippin' Jimmy.
Lost his way, and then he got it back, and then he lost it again for a week. He went on, like, a week vacation.
He's like the Job of lawyers.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, well, you mean, like...
I love the biblical reference.
Well, yeah. But you think he's the Job... But the thing is, he is the Job of lawyers, or the Job character, at least on the show, for sure. Like, just can't catch a break. But he caught a break. The motherfucker caught a break.
And he spit on it.
He spit on it.
He unbroke it.
Which reminds me, I saw a guy two nights ago on the subway. He got on the subway. He was a guy. He had a walker. He was just yelling stuff like this. Kind of like the guy from Sling Blade, except this guy was, you know, like the opposite color of the guy from Sling Blade. And he had a giant, giant beard, and he just kept spitting.
Ew.
He just kept spitting, and he had a cup underneath him that was full of a brown liquid. It might have been a shake. It might have been his toilet. I didn't even know.
No, this didn't really happen. You're describing the plot of an In Living Color sketch.
Nope.
Starring Damon Wayans.
Okay, and then I went to go check to see if a train was coming, like another train, like a two. And he said, because everybody, a lot of people got off the train at that stop because there was a transfer to an express train. So a lot of people just got off than rather be on with this guy. And he said, run away, or something like that. And then I just sat back down. And I rode the rest of the way, even though I knew he was going to my stop. I said, no, I'm not afraid of you, crazy person.
He only exists to scare you. Don't give in to him.
Oh.
Good job, man.
He's going to have to get his smell to be a lot more offensive if he wants me to get off a train when he's on it.
That Josh Richer, if he's on the subway and some crazy old man tells him to run away, he doesn't run.
I refuse. This is my city, buddy.
You're going to get murdered.
Yeah, no.
If you get murdered, I'll be really sad. But when I get the call, Josh got murdered, I'll be like, of course he did.
You're like, well, they're about time.
I should like prepare a notebook of things to do when you get murdered. Because it sucks when somebody gets murdered. You got to do all this crap. You got to talk to reporters.
Yeah.
I got to pay, I got to settle your affairs. Somebody's going to come to me like, you know, Josh owed me like $20. Fine. Told him to pay you months ago.
Yeah, I forgot, and then I became embarrassed. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he didn't murder you, but really next time maybe just switch trains.
No, I didn't really even need to get on the two. That was the thing.
See, I don't know what the two means.
Well, there's a.
I'm not a New Yorker.
There's a one train, which is the one train is a local, and then like at certain stops, coming parallel to each other on another track that goes in the same direction is an express train that skips a lot of stops. So the two trains are the express train. Mm-hmm. So, I just
how do you know which stops it makes? I never understood how trains work.
Well, you just look on the map.
I've had to take a train maybe 4 times in my life, and I missed the train I wanted 3 times.
That sounds...
The only reason I made the train the one time out of 4 was out of pure luck, because there was a train with open doors, and I stood on it, and then I asked the guy, where is this going? And he said, Boston. And I said, good, I'm on the right one. There's no signs or anything. I don't understand how you people do it. It's insane. I feel like...
Well, there's a lot of signs where I, you know, here.
It's like a practical joke against me. Like, you guys are just randomly riding trains so that when people like me think that riding a train is a good idea, we just don't know where to go and nobody helps you.
Well, no, nobody helps you because humanity hates other humans.
Humanity hates itself.
That's what I found. We're skeptical of other people, which I think is really the central plot of this entire... I watched this episode and I went, this just solidifies why I should be skeptical of other human beings who have a sad story or... Like, this whole time we've been talking about scams, but it's all... But, like, to actually, like, kind of go through it with them, you're like, oh, man, people just make up stuff about anything.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. But, like, so are we going to, like, dissect this episode or...
Do you want to? We could just talk about it.
I mean, what are your general impressions of the episode?
Well, I found myself, when I was watching it the first time, at certain points just kind of being pissed at the actual episode, like the structure of it, you know?
Yeah.
There was some parts where I was like, like, this, some of this doesn't make sense. It seems too easy. Like, oh, we're going to explain what's happening to him by showing this meltdown that he's having. Mm-hmm. It's like, first of all, we've all played bingo.
We've all played bingo.
That many bees coming out in a row is a 1 in a million chance. And why is it the bee, like, it's the bee that pissed him off because it was, like, bee words that he...
Well, I don't think it matters that it was a bee. It's just that he noticed it was a bee. You know what I'm saying? Like, say it was an N, he would have thought of something that N began with to get mad about.
I just feel like that doesn't actually happen.
What, 5 bees in a row? You don't play roulette very much.
No, I mean, like, even the meltdown that he had based on what he... Like, yeah, of course he was going to, like... At one point he was going to, like...
That part I don't mind because imagine you, Josh, a relatively law-abiding citizen... I mean, you probably committed a few things that you don't know about. I watched a special on 60 Minutes. It says we've all committed, like, over 100 felonies. We could all go to jail if the government really wanted us to. Anyway, you're basically a good guy.
Yeah.
Imagine that you got so mad at somebody that you took a shit in his car. And unbeknownst to you, you shit on 2 little kids. Wouldn't that pretty much ruin your life if the guy didn't decide to just let it go and pursued, like, criminal negligent charges against you, like, as a sex offender? And, like, oh, fine, you don't have to go to jail, your brother bails you out, but it kind of ruins your whole life because you can never, ever, no matter what, because of that incident, get your brother's approval back. So I don't really mind that scene. I can kind of buy that. I don't think you've had many meltdowns. I've had a lot of meltdowns. I really identified with that scene, actually.
Ah, well, again, all makes sense.
I've had a lot of moments of, I really tried, what's the point? Trying for what? Because you're trying to please people, people are going to misunderstand, or they're going to lie to you. So it's like the nature of trying. You can only really try to do something for your own personal benefit.
That's where I was kind of lost, where this whole character development happened this week, especially the end where he turned down the offer of meeting up with, what was it, Davis and something law firm that Hamlin and McGill had to call in because it was, like, too big, the case now. Like, that, like, I went, so Jimmy's got this opportunity. It's not really, like... At this point, he isn't trying anymore. He's just doing, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if pleasing Chuck was the only thing, so that, like, that's it. That's enough to turn him completely to the, like, world of criminal activity and dishonesty. It's just like, oh, my brother doesn't like me.
Well, as I just defended the bingo scene.
Yeah.
When we get to the final scene of the show, after Marco dies and after he goes through his conning resurgent thing, and he gets the call from, what's her name? Kim.
Yes.
The episode was still, like, building up for me, and I was like, all right, now how's this going to end? How's it going to hang into the next season? And that scene where he just ditches the meeting and then goes to Mike and they have this really, like, juvenile sounding,
yeah,
why did we leave that money on the table? I'm never going to do that again. Basically ruined the entire season for me. The entire season.
Wow.
Because that is an important moment. You're ending the first season of the show. Everybody's always been talking about when are we going from Jimmy to Saul? That's like the big thing. That's the big thing everyone's waiting for, at least the first thing. And that is the first thing that's going to happen, is him saying, I did the right thing. I'm not going to do that again. People don't talk like that.
No.
They had so many opportunities. He could have gone into the meeting. He could have gotten this job. He could have gone into the meeting and then rejected the job. Like, he never had to have that conversation with Mike at all. He could have made a joke about it or something like that, but just – it just makes it cheapens it so bad. And like you said, exactly. You can only succeed for your own benefit. He has the meltdown at the bingo hall. And then he's with Marco. Why didn't he just stay with Marco then? If this is the kind of guy he's going to be. No, because he gets the voicemails from the old people. And he liked the old people. He liked helping them. So why wouldn't he try to still be a lawyer?
He liked the old people that, and this whole season, you've seen him actually seem to, like, really be taking pride in himself. And Marco died trying to get one last score. Like, oh, Marco died because he was overweight, like, by a lot, and he drank heavily. And
that was another opportunity they missed. My heart was pounding out of my chest when he was doing that one last score thing with Marco. They had so many other opportunities. They could have gotten caught. They could have gotten beaten up. The guy could have been an undercover cop. Like, anything could have happened, and he just dies, well, and the guy runs away.
They were setting it up with the cough. They were really like, ha-ha, he coughed a bunch of times prior to that. So it's like, oh, look, he's coughing again. He's having a heart attack.
If you're fat and you cough, you're going to die.
Well, I think they were setting up that is a sign of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Either way.
I was let down by that scene. I was let down by the ending.
I felt like
now it's... Yeah. Yeah.
This season, the penultimate episode was far better than the final episode. However, this is the first season of the show. A lot of hype to live up. It was mostly solid the entire season. We've gushed about it.
Yeah, they had an arc for the entire, however many episodes it was, 10 episodes. This realizing Chuck's betrayal was the climax. Why couldn't that have been the end of the season? They still could have done something that was hanging to the next season. Instead, they made it like this really lame, poor Saul epilogue.
Because now he's going to have to explain his behavior to Kim and him. Because she's not going away. You know, like, she's going
to
be there.
Kim's in the friggin' meeting. Why would he just... It doesn't make any sense that he just wouldn't go to the meeting. Like she said, there is powerful people.
Hold on.
At least go.
You were a robot just a second ago. Okay. Just go. Exactly.
Yeah.
It is like, the beginning actually, what it was building up to until he was in that bingo hall, I was like behind, because it was like you started to get a little more. Like, Hanlon warmed up to him a little bit. And basically it was like, I called you Charlie Hustle because I thought you were a good worker. And, like, you were, like, this good guy, you know, like, and you're like, oh, man, Hamlin, you're just, you're probably just come off kind of crappy sometimes, and but you're like a, I'm so sorry again.
Yeah, he actually, that's a tough job, man, taking the heat for somebody.
And you felt like Jimmy felt that, you know, I felt like the way they, maybe I misread the entire beginning of the episode, and then maybe I misread the entire lessons that Jimmy was learning and where we were heading to, but it was just such an abrupt turnaround on a dime moment, literally. Like, he's rehearsing right up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it didn't make any sense.
Which is really sad, because I actually enjoyed pretty much everything up until, like, you know, they made it a little easy, and I kind of, like, gave them that, like, benefit of the doubt, but then to just, like, have that
abrupt, you know what it change. Is? You know, as you know, I got a degree in English.
Yes.
Useless as it may be, it taught me to appreciate the difference between fine and transparent literature. And this was very just condescending and heavy-handed. I left the money on the table. I'm never going to do that again because I thought it was the right thing. The audience doesn't need him to say that. The audience can understand, based on the course of all these events, if he decides to go into an enterprise and lie and do what he has to do. You see what I'm saying? Like, if maybe he takes this job and cheats money out of people. I don't know. Anything could have happened. Like, we know. We get it. Or just make a comment about the money to Mike. It's just like those authors that give you a piece of dialogue, and then the next line they say, they really felt like this was like this. Like, yeah, no shit. I could infer that from the conversation because I'm not retarded. That's how I felt this episode ended. It's very just like, I'll never watch that again. Because how's it end? He just drives away in his stupid yellow car, playing his stupid song, and oh, he wants to be Saul now. Congratulations, you wasted my time.
Well, I think it was that anticipation, too. Like, we anticipated that this journey was going to be, like, it seemed like it was going to be a slow one. And then it's kind of not. I mean, maybe it's still going to be a little bit slow. We're not, you know, I do have faith that we're not just going to be like, oh, now he's got an orange suit and he bought the car, you know? Even though they had the car again, like him seeing his old car and...
Yeah, the timeline isn't important to me. If they want to go with Jimmy McGill for 4 seasons, fine. If the shows are good.
Yeah.
But you got to, like, if you want to do things that are, you know, really kind of cool because you have this big Breaking Bad audience, if you want to, like, go to forward or put Breaking Bad Easter eggs, whatever, that's great. But don't think too hard about that. You don't have to write every scene being like, all right, now how does he become Saul? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just let it come naturally. Whatever, they blew it.
There was one thing in the bingo scene, even though I was like, that I really liked, was you mentioned Easter eggs. They obviously mentioned Belize there,
mm-hmm.
which is where, you know, they he wanted Walt to send Hank. And as well as there was the Kevin Costner scene in Cicero where he was telling people that it was Kevin Costner, which he had talked about also on Breaking Bad. Yeah. But
which worked because I believed it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you didn't really believe it. They were just drunk. And you pretended. No, it's the line, if we have another bee, there's going to be a real problem here. Like, I hated how they got there, but I loved that line. Like, I was like, all right, well, that was... like, he somehow played that really well.
He acted that whole scene great. It was, like, funny, but manic and, like, disturbing. And it was great. You just, like, imagine just bearing your soul to a crowd of strangers about being arrested as a sex offender for taking a shit in someone's car.
No.
That's a hard scene to pull off, man. He did it. You think he'll get an Emmy? Emmy nod?
Not for that scene, but no, I think he will. I think,
well, you know how Emmys work. You get nominated for one episode.
Yeah.
So it'd probably be like last week's.
Yeah, I think it would be last week's. I see Mike doing better there, but I don't know. Mike would, they put him as, yeah, he'd be supporting, so.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
What's up with Odenkirk's voice? Is he a smoker, or does he just have like a naturally cool, raspy voice?
Well, he used to smoke.
Used to smoke.
Yeah, I believe. I'm pretty sure I've seen him smoke. But his voice has always kind of been like that. Also, that girl with the butterfly vest. I was trying to figure that out. Like, what's the deal? Like, are they just like, hey, this is New Mexico in the early 2000s. It's just the lamest place. And people that work at old people's homes are
weird.
Yeah, they're just weird. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I am fairly confident that they'll take it someplace good. One thing that makes me feel that way is Breaking Bad. The first season was, it was all right, but it wasn't until that second season where they really hit that era of like, oh, this is just fantastic. Like, kind of leading you on every episode with that, the eye and the stuff at the pool.
Yeah, and, you know, the total disaster. That was when they, well, once that happened, when Jane died and the plane crashed, I was like, wow, this show is really going to do anything to burn this entire world to the ground.
Yes.
Now I'm on board.
Yeah, you know, what would a guy who doesn't care about selling drugs and knowing that it ruins his community, what's something that could possibly affect him and also had cancer and was convinced he was going to die? Well, have him realize that he killed a ton of people. Inadvertently, by being an asshole.
Yes, inadvertently. Although, I still don't really buy that whole plot point because air traffic control is a very guarded psychological profiling. That guy probably would have been allowed to come back to work for like 5 years.
Huh.
His daughter overdosed.
See, I didn't know that.
They can only work for 30 minutes at a time. Can we do that?
That's the best job in the world.
They work 30 minutes, they take a 10-minute break. Or else their head will explode.
It's because their eyes. They have to, like, really, because they got to be so focused. If they just had kids playing video games, they'd be all set. Probably paying less.
I imagine a lot of air traffic controllers used to be gamers.
It's possible.
It's like, you know, how the FBI recruits counterfeiters. Air traffic controllers probably recruit really good, you know, gamers.
So what you're telling me is everyone on Grandma's Boy eventually became air traffic controllers once they were done testing games.
Yeah, or like pilots. Fighter pilots.
Oh, let's see.
How much do air traffic controllers make? Is that like a really good job?
I assume it's a lot.
Is it like a doctor? Can we call them air traffic controller Smith instead of just Mister? Like, is it a good enough job where we have to say what their job is when we call them by name?
Well, it's no. They're still just like they're not actually like, you know, an important people really. They are.
But
what
not really.
What are they like? They're like something else, like someone that you really got to look out for, because or you got to like take care of because they just make or break your life.
Indispensable.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of other positions where it's like, yeah, we got to be nice to that guy.
Oh.
I guess the police, they'll kill you. It could be that.
No, the police can't kill anybody anymore. The media has taken over police.
Ah.
Yeah, everybody's just nabbing cops on video now. Like, even doing really stupid stuff. Like, oh my god, this cop touched me. And they're making a national story. Cops should be able to push people if they want to push people. Once they can't push people, then they're not cops anymore. I bet there'll be no more police in like 10 years.
That's a scary thought, as much as I hate the cops.
It's not to me. You know why? Because if they eliminate cops, then all those people trying to nab the cops will all get fucked up by criminals.
Yeah, but then the criminals will rule.
Nah, there's enough like tough, good guys.
If we don't, that bay. If we either need cops or a Batman, preferably both, in order to. I'll take a Spider-Man too.
I think we're at the level where we could embrace a Batman.
I would totally.
There might not have been a Batman out there, but now there might be because we have the technology. That's what's so great about the Batman comics. This guy just is like so smart and rich. He just can make this amazing stuff that he needs to be Batman. But it's not plausible. It never was anyway until now. You can get a bat wing or like bat spelunking materials, hang glider, guns that don't kill people.
I look forward to having a Batman. I will let him know that his service is appreciated. I feel like he didn't get that in the actual story of Batman. People were kind of like, oh, he's a vigilante. It's like, yeah, because we need vigilantes.
Yeah, I always hated that about Batman, how people like got mad at him. I was like, don't they know this is the only reason why we're watching this?
And then I went, why do I feel bad for the... Now I feel bad that the billionaire playboy can only be a billionaire playboy again. Yeah. Like, oh, they've rejected Batman. Oh,
man. What the heck?
He's like, oh, this life just isn't fulfilling.
He has to live in seclusion with his mansion and his lots of women.
Living that life. Living that, life. Sailing around. No, I, yeah, so I kinda, yeah, once that doesn't happen with cops,
okay, before we get off Batman, how do you feel about series reboots? You know how they made a Superman, and they made the Amazing Spider-Man like 10 years after Spider-Man? How do you feel about that?
I kinda hate it.
Yeah, I hate it too, but here's the thing. Yeah. If society is saying, you know what?
Except for the Hulk.
We like these characters so much. You can just throw them at us however you want. Let any actor play them. Different universe, different year, fine. If that's true, then why can't they make another Breaking Bad? With a different Walter White? Think about it.
You're sounding crazy. You sound like a crazy person right now. You can have
somebody else's take on Walter White. It's like, Jamie Foxx stars Breaking Bad. You kind of know what's going to happen, but not really. Maybe he's not a chemistry teacher. Maybe he's like a...
He could be a guy who manages an Arby's.
Yeah, and he
That's
sells...
That's a thankless job.
That... He sells the recipe.
So we could flip it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Gus can be a chemistry teacher. Eh?
Yeah, Gus the chemistry teacher trying to... So, the really good.
I don't know.
Roast not... beef with the artificial ingredients.
I'd be very sad. I don't. I pretty much hate when they reboot things like that. They just keep rebooting. Certain things are okay. Like obviously, when something got done in a way that wasn't good, rebooting it and trying to get it right makes sense. Like I feel like with the Hulk, as I said. That I felt like the last Hulk was better than the Hulk that they made with Eric Bana.
I never saw that one. That was Ang Lee, by the way.
I know.
How could it have been that bad? The guy's an Oscar-winning director.
Yeah, he also did Crouching Tiger. He went from that to that. He also did Godzilla. That was the next thing I was gonna say. Godzilla, the one that they did with Matthew Broderick, did not.
Oh no,
that was horrible.
Really? I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, that was Ang Lee. The next one, which had Bryan Cranston to bring it all back around.
Ew. Was good.
Yeah, that one was great. Like, it was really good. So, Yeah, if it's done, if they're trying to correct a wrong that was done to a franchise or like a pop thing, then totally reboot it. But
that's why it worked with Batman, because once you brought in Chris Nolan,
yeah,
get rid of the Joel Schumacher stuff, then it's like, I remember when Batman Begins came out, nobody wanted to see it. Like, oh, great, another Batman.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is awesome. It's dark.
Yeah, somebody like accidentally watches it, and they're like, oh, no, you got to see Batman. The guy from the Newsies is in it. He's good.
Well, he was also, prior to that, Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, so.
Yeah, but I just skipped that and go right back to the Newsies.
Oh, wow. It was a compelling movie, the Newsies.
We could do a sixth midweek podcast about American Psycho. I've been dying for someone to explain that movie to me for years.
Oh, well, maybe that's what we can do next, Jeff. You know, we need a thought. We have to actually move on from Better Call Saul, so.
Next week, we have to do something else.
Well, because there is no Better Call Saul. What are we going to do? Just get up here and talk? That's what the midweek podcasts are for.
Maybe we could talk about how upset we were with Better Call Saul.
No, we'll get sick of that. We're like goldfish. We have very short memories. Things come in and then we just...
How about WrestleMania?
I know, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? We're on a wrestling website.
But that's, as I've said many times before, that's the sad part. I could actually, as I start going back in my brain, I'm like, but I know what happened. Just because I've got friends that watch it.
But who's the champion now?
I don't know about now, but it was Seth Rollins. He cashed in the Money in the Bank. He had the Money in the Bank where he could go in and he could say, like, at any point in a year between Money in the Banks, he could cash it in.
Now, why is WrestleMania a big deal? Are the titles only decided on WrestleMania? Like, if you win WrestleMania, you're the champion for a whole year?
No.
So who cares? How's it different from any other wrestling show?
It's like their Super Bowl. It's like their big thing. They do like the Hall of Fame that weekend too. It's like, you know, a big to do. Mm-hmm. There's pageantry. Like
There's
they have
pageantry.
Yeah, but you know, they have like people running out with like flags and doing the dances and like Cirque du Soleil stuff. I think. I didn't see it.
Okay. Cirque du Soleil. Sign me up. Throw that pay-per-view down. We could do a month-long preview series about Pacquiao Mayweather.
That's true. We have teased that a little bit. Who knows? I'm thinking I'm going to save it for the...
Super excited about that.
Yeah, we got time to think. But this episode of... This disappointing episode of Saul that just kind of shit all over the build that they had going.
Chicago sunroofed all over the build.
Oh, yes, on children.
On children.
Yeah.
On my hopes and dreams. Dashed.
Completely. Completely dashed.
We should watch Last Man on Earth. That show looks pretty funny.
I watched one episode and I liked it, but I just didn't. I there's all this stuff I've been trying to watch. Mm. I did really like though in Saul. Leading up to that, there was like several things that I liked besides what I mentioned, which is basically just a line here. Okay, I liked that guy Marco.
I hate Marco.
See, I liked Jimmy with Marco in a way. Because as I said, it was kind of like seeing Jimmy on vacation. It was like, all right, this guy's cool to party with, you know?
Bye. Yeah, it was also like a good comment needs a partner, so...
Yeah.
They clearly made each other whole in certain ways.
That was nice. I thought of that. I thought of you.
Oh, yeah?
Not going to lie. I thought of you. My partner on the podcast. I was like, that's what I need.
Well, here's what you don't do, because there's only one reason I hated Marco. And it's because there were two scenes, not just one, but two, where Marco asked Jimmy a question and just repeatedly keeps asking it. And that's not how adults behave.
No, it's not.
What do you mean you're moving? What do you mean you're moving to Albuquerque? Yeah, I'm moving to Albuquerque. What do you mean you're moving to Albuquerque? Yeah, I'm moving to Albuquerque. What do you mean you're moving to Albuquerque? Come on, just one more time. No, I can't do it. Just come on, just one more time. Why no, I can't? No, come on, just one more time. No. You asked me something twice, and that's it.
Well, you
or friendship over. Twice, well, and you're done.
That's pretty much what happened. So I can't say. Odenkirk's a good actor, but I don't know if he was trying to really put off, like, I was annoyed that he asked me so many times. It could have been a thing. I don't know. I'm no acting expert.
It's like something that you see in a soap opera or in an episode of Saved by the Bell. Hey, try this marijuana. No, thanks. I'm good. No, try it. No, I really don't want it. Come on. Everybody's doing it. Like, fuck you, man. Jimmy said no. He said no.
But right after that was really awesome because I liked seeing kind of like that Jimmy's like, well, it was heavy-handed. It was awesome and heavy-handed. It would like, in a way, it was like, yep, that's right. Jimmy really looked up to his old brother after he helped him out of jail. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, he's so devoted to him. And then you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Jimmy was screwed over and now we have to deal with the aftermath of that.
But that's the key of the series and the character in this episode. Is he devoted to him because he loves him, he's his brother, or is he just so not willing to allow people to think he's a scumbag? And I think that is the big thing. Like, so is Saul a good is Jimmy a good person or a bad person? I don't think we're really sure he's ever a good person.
Well,
he's just so pissed off that Chuck is like this that he's like, you know what, fuck him. I can be nice to him. I can go to law school. I can make something of my life, and then he'll have to like me, right? But wanting someone to like you doesn't make you a good person.
That's true.
So he might just be flawed no matter what.
Well, that brings in a whole other thing, is being good, and they haven't brought this up in the show yet, you know, even though we did have this question about, you know, when Saul makes that turn after the conversation with Mike that we both thought was sounded weird and forced, okay. After they have that conversation, and he just makes the statement about how, like, I'll never make that mistake again with the money,
mm-hmm.
it brings up a question of, well, what is being good? Is being good just, like, being good out of intention? If he is just trying to make Chuck think he's good, is that count as being good? Is that count being a good at being a good person if you're just doing it so
well? I guess that
for the benefits could, like, what
when he says I'll never do that, I know why I did it, I'll never do that again, is he saying I didn't take the money because it was the right thing, or I didn't take the money because I know Chuck would have found out?
He's saying he didn't do it because it was the wrong thing, but he's no longer going to worry about the wrong thing.
But I'm saying, was it because it was the wrong thing, or was it more to do with...
I guess we don't know. And maybe that's the beautiful part of the episode, is that we don't know exactly yet. All we know is that he's made this turn, and that he's kicking himself over acting good in the recent past and making the decision, like, with the code, like Mike said. Although Mike didn't even say, Mike didn't even really say that. He just said he was hired for a job and that was it.
Yeah.
Everything's up in the air. There's a lot of gray matter. I was going to say gray area, but I figured, you know, I had to say gray matter. A lot of gray area, and that's pretty much the whole premise of the show, but whether or not they give it to us a little bit slow going forward after making this, like, sudden jarring jump, I think would be the difference between whether or not this is, like, actually as good as Breaking Bad, or just kind of like, yeah, it was good.
Well, hey, we only have to wait about a year
for
season 2 to come out.
Yeah. I look forward to that.
What is that anyway? You know, I don't care. My life will go on. It'll be spring 2016 before I know it. But why? Why does it take a year? Like, I understand Game of Thrones. They got all these crazy things they have to do, like, footage-wise. What do they need a year to make 10 episodes of that show? Give me a break.
Well, none of them do. It's just they need to their networks need to maintain a schedule.
Yeah,
schedule of hype.
Annie is really going to be overloaded with programming for the next 12 months,
It's not, but AMC might. Damn it.
I caught you, bitch.
Got me. That was
did
like...
I correct my stutters? I can correct my own stutters. I did not say Gun and Roses.
Check the tape. Check the tape.
It's crazy.
You'll see. All right. So I feel that's a good place. We probably should take a break unless you got any more to say. Actually, no. I had a... And this is unrelated. I'll just do this now. Because this whole show is about scams. This whole episode, the entire season about the idea of who's scamming who. Okay, and remember we talked last week about how my dad stopped a scam? Or he didn't stop it, but he gave, like, Walmart the entire, everything they needed to stop a scam?
Right.
This week, I was home in the little old state of Rhode Island. And me and my lady were driving around a little bit to north of Rhode Island in Attleboro, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, we were checking out the beautiful, nature.
Mm.
And I get a call from my sister, and she says, "Where are you?" I'm like, "I'm in Attleboro, driving. Why, where are you?" And she then proceeds to say, she's like, "Oh, I'm home. I just got a call from someone saying that you had just been in an accident on Newport Ave in Pawtucket. And it was a 3-car accident. And, someone was being sent to the hospital and that you were, like, in trouble." I'm like, "What?"
Mm.
And say that basically that they were going to beat me up because I did damage to their BMW or Mercedes or something, and that they couldn't get the cops involved.
What?
Okay. So my sister tells me this. I'm like, "No, totally not. That's not happening." She's like, "Oh my God." And she started, like, you know, being like, "I was so worried." And I was like, you know, obviously I was, you know.
You're mocking your sister's love for you. That's
yeah.
really nice.
Well, you know, obviously, like, I was very touched that she was so worried, that she got carried away with her emotions. However, there's so many things wrong with what, like if the ambulance was taking people away,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't the cops be there?
The cops be where?
Where the accident was, if the ambulance had arrived and actually were taking people away from the scene.
Yeah.
So the whole story of I'm going to get beat up because they don't want to go to the cops, it just doesn't make sense. And she neglected in her emotional state to see this.
So who are these guys and how do they know your name?
They didn't say a name. That's when I started asking her more. I started realizing that they were totally general and they totally, like, she figured the scam out because she was like this. At one point she was like, "This doesn't, you know, like, oh, let me call Josh." Then she called me and I didn't pick up because I didn't know who she was calling. Like, once, so she kept calling. I'm like, "What's going on?" And she was like, "Oh, thank God." And then that's when she went into it. But they basically just said, they said things that were general and she, like, filled in the pieces herself.
Did they say brother? Did they say loved one? Did they say, "Hey, man, we just got into a car accident with..."
I think
loved one's name.
No, they said we were there was a car accident and we were told to call this number.
Mm. So they're gonna beat you up unless you money in a bag and dropped it off in a garbage can.
That's what I was. I don't know how the scam would have worked down the line, but I just went. It seems like she probably asked questions and asked them to justify it, and then, like, but then she kept getting, like, lured as opposed to just hanging up. To the point where she had to, call me in a frenzy. For me to go, "None of this makes sense, Samantha."
No, so, poof. Does your sister have a lot of money?
She does not.
Damn. I was going to say, we should totally mark her.
She did, though. She called the state police because she's that sort of person and informed them of the scam. And they informed her that they were getting reports of that.
State police?
Yeah.
I thought they just issued highway tickets.
No, apparently they do other things.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah. Scams. My
That's
family
not how that, I thought that
sniffs
story
them
would,
out.
I thought the story would end with your dad finding them and killing them.
No, no.
So it's a little of a letdown, but it is cool that they are. They're not going to put up with this crap, the Rangers.
My dad the whole time sat over and went like, that's weird.
Classic that guy.
Yeah. But then I also, like, it's been a week of scams for me. I've just been seeing more and more scams. And I started thinking, especially after seeing this episode this week. That happened before I saw the episode. And then I just, like, my brain was in it. And do you know, like, how often I see scams just play out on the subway? If I've tried to take buses back to Rhode Island, like, people just hang out in these places like this where there's a high traffic and they can try to get people that are essentially bleeding hearts. Mm-hmm. And they just make up stories and ask for money. And they get it. I see it all the time. A guy that carries a sign that says a story, like, is written on cardboard. He's wearing a suit. And a long, like, overcoat jacket. And he's well-groomed. It says, I came to New York for a job interview. My briefcase was stolen. I have, like, no – my information was there. I have no way to get home. Please help. Something, something. Mm-hmm. People give him money.
You know why people give money? Because when somebody asks you for money, it's hard to say no. It's awkward.
You just ignore them, like they're not even there.
Right, and that is not – it doesn't feel right in the human conscious.
That's what you got to do, or you're going to get pulled in by these souls.
But think about it. People need to give alms, right? There are – so are you saying that scammers just ruined almsgiving for everybody? All poor people, sick people, they can't get anything because of scammers. That's not – we can't allow that to happen. Aren't there actually sick homeless people in the subway?
There are, and I think there are. I mean, I saw one woman, and this is where she gets people. She's got two things she does. One is she will just sit on the steps going down to the subway in Grand Central Station, and she'll just start yelling, "Somebody help me! Somebody help me! I'm hungry!" And like really like looking like she's crying. She's not crying. But she's looking like she's got that face and, like, the way she's saying it. You know, she's got people thinking that she's crying.
You know what we should do? We should do heroin. We should do heroin and see who can do, like, the crazier thing to get money once we're addicted. That's a show right there, my friend.
Ah, well, you know what? I was totally thinking you were an insane person for saying that. But then once you know... You're right. That would be a way to take the show. Interesting.
Bigger picture.
But her other way is to just get on the train and sit down and be like, I have diabetes and I haven't eaten in like a day and anything would help. And then I saw that and people gave her money this time. And I'm like, I've seen this woman all the time just sitting there doing her thing. And then this time she's just like, She's got it. And then somebody offers her a granola bar, and she goes, I'm a diabetic. I can't eat that. And I'm like, wait a second. Some diabetics do need to eat things after.
Depends on their...
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sure she doesn't have the facts right completely. But hey, you know what? I respect her. She's working. It's not like she's just hanging out at home. She's on the subway asking people for money. That's a job.
So you think scams are jobs, though? Are they?
If you're good at them, if they work, then whatever. You need money.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Magicians, they're basically scamming people.
Oh, yeah, big time.
All right, Jeff. I think, we talked about as much as we can about Marco and his death and the horrible events that we watched. Basically, the build-up being destroyed for us. I think we should go to a break, come back, do what we do, talk about... finally, we could talk about that Indiana law, which that's taken some turns there.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot happened this week with that, you know, and all the stuff with the pizza places, great stuff. So let's head out and do that. Have the fine Place to Be Nation break, telling people about all the wonderful things, including Boneheads, which I had this weekend.
And don't forget to go to Boneheads and buy some Boneheads wings.
So, yeah, we'll see you back here right after the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We featured The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats' RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber lover.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW supercards.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
And welcome back. Thank you again for following us here to Pass the Saul stuff. You're a good fan of the show, you.
Pass the Saul stuff. That'd be a good name for like a show about talking about Saul. Pass the Saul.
Oh.
It sounds like salt.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh, shit.
Am I right?
That is the fourth midweek podcast. It's going to be like better our podcast now, but better.
Mm.
And just only puns.
A total pun-based show.
Yeah.
I dig it.
We've already shown the world what we can do with our puns.
They ain't seen nothing yet, buddy.
So, Jeff, the break. What would you do? How'd you spend your break time free from this strenuous recording schedule here?
Well, I've been selfish, you know, taking care of me stuff during the break, but I figured I would do some of, like, you and me stuff.
Yeah, you're just like, it's whatever.
Yeah, you know, like, I take care of business.
And I'm just, like, waiting for you for, like, long periods of time.
Yeah. But, and you're always there when I get back, which is great.
I wouldn't. I'm a light for you, man.
But I was talking to my sister, and she's like, you know what? Josh works really hard on these podcasts. Maybe you should listen to them. And I'm like, I already told him I was never going to listen to them because I don't like the sound of my own voice, et cetera, et cetera.
Understandable. I mean, we all get that. Yeah. Because, you know, we hear you.
But I thought she was right, so I actually went back and I listened to them all.
Nice!
Yeah.
Are all the original ones, too?
No, just the Saul ones.
Oh, okay. Well, that, you know, that's a start.
I don't want to listen to the Breaking Bad ones, because I want to rewatch Breaking Bad, and I want to give myself enough time to forget everything that happened.
And also what you said, and then what you can do is write down all the things you said, and then see if you said it again.
Yeah, we can re-podcast the rewatch of Breaking Bad.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be something. So what'd you think, Jeff? You listened to him. I've been putting in this work for you.
I don't remember what we said exactly. All I could focus on was our voices. And okay. And we have very similar voices, so it was hard for me to delineate who was talking. So I think what we should do is, for future podcasts, we could, one of us wear like a speech enhancer thing, like one of those robot type devices.
Okay.
Like, here's Richard and the mailman. It was really cold today.
Okay. No, we can do that. I mean, I can do that all in post.
Oh yeah, you can totally edit.
Yeah, I mean, it's no big thing.
I mean, it's kind of cute because it sounds like we're brothers.
Brothers do sound alike. It's a known fact.
Although I sound nothing like my actual brother, which is ironic.
And also, I have no brother, which is, I believe, also ironic?
Not as ironic as my thing, but it's pretty ironic.
Nice. Oh, cool. I'm glad you listened. Give it a...
I'm not sure if you noticed this, but Andy appears to have been on the recordings. Andy Flanagan.
Andy? What?
Yeah, he would pop up every now and then, which is weird because I never really heard him. I don't know if you were doing any kind of like editing stuff. But he would just like pop up and like say stuff whenever it pertained to some stupid question that you and I were too stupid to actually know.
Really? Like what?
You know, stuff. Chris Borland. Hummels.
I thought that was you.
Miniatures.
I thought you thought of it.
I thought I did too, actually. And I was proud of that. Because I don't usually know stuff. But then I was like, you know what? I've never fucking heard of Chris Borland or a Hummel. And that's definitely not my voice. Because that voice is much deeper and manly. And it like could command a room. That's why I will never be a supervisor at the post office. Whenever they say for me to make an announcement, nobody can hear me. I don't know how to project my voice. I can never act on Broadway.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm both saddened by your limitations in life, and also I'm fucking freaked out, man. I mean, now I'm thinking that's where all those fresh beers and pancakes while I was recording came from.
Yeah.
He's just
not
like
so much.
Or do you think?
The worst part about it is, I thought it was just you and me, and now Andy's back all of a sudden. Like, I had totally forgot about the fact that you did the podcast with Andy in the first place.
I mean, I'd say he's not back. I mean,
Richard and the mailman. I thought we were gonna go back to the original, like just you and me doing stuff, and you got Andy in the background. I can't even like figure out something on my own. Like, I thought I figured something out on my own, But no, it was just a total stupid lie.
No, no,
and it was just Andy. You know what? It's enough to break a man, quite frankly.
Pull it together, man. You aren't a man. You're a mailman.
Pull it together. Yeah, that's all you ever say. Pull it together.
No, no,
yeah.
People depend on you.
Whatever.
They depend on you. They depend on you for insurance. They got for their insurance cards that they need. And when they order checks,
they don't even send insurance cards through the mail anymore.
Well, what about their car registrations?
They don't even know what I do for a living.
They renewed online. They need their car registrations to get to them. You can't just print that shit out. Do you think that Andy's the hacker that posted all the bootleg shows that you were talking about, you know, that made you sad? With all the horrible echoes? The ones that painted me as being an asshole who made jokes about soldiers? You think he was that guy?
All right, just stop.
Is that Andy?
Andy, how... It sounds like Andy. How could you, and where are you? Me and Jeff are on Skype. Are you on my computer?
Don't worry about it.
Well, I'm already over it. Obviously. Now, why have you been hacking into the show?
You mean helping you out? You guys would still be sitting around trying to remember Chris Borland if it wasn't for me.
Possibly. That obviously. I mean, you know, we kind of have no memories. But the corrections team would have corrected us, and it would have been fun the next week, you know?
And who do you think is in charge of the corrections team?
Get the fuck out of here.
Seriously. Although I don't know why I'm helping you out after you stopped recording with me. And you even try to downplay all the episodes we did together. Just to make Jeff feel better because you were an egotistical maniac and cut him out.
Oh my god.
Well, you know, asshole, we asked you to record with us. That was already out there, but apparently you weren't able to watch 43 minutes of compelling television once a week. Even Jeff can do that. What does that say about you?
I'm a very busy man, and I'm sick of your ungrateful attitude, too. I stepped up, and I filled in when you needed me. And here you sit on your high horse, pretending you're so highbrow like Fuck Duck Dynasty.
I said that.
Well, yeah, actually, Fuck Duck Dynasty. That show sucks. Good. But you don't have to be so smug about it, like you're above us all. These things are called guilty pleasures. The badness is acknowledged, okay?
Yeah, I know. I get what guilty pleasures are, you know, like you condescending bastard. Like, I have some, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Actually, that show's pretty critically acclaimed.
Yeah, I love Buffy.
Well, what can I say? I only like awesome things. That's a, you know, cool character flaw.
All right, yeah, see right there. You have such contempt for everyone and everything that doesn't live up to your standards of art or whatever. Can't you just admit that that's a douchey thing?
Fine, all right? I'm a douche. I act better than everyone.
Thank you.
All right. So, Josh, what did you do on your break?
Really? I thought you would never ask me, Jeff. Every week, I'm like, well, I ask you, hoping that you would ask me, and you never do. All right, well, this week... one of my coworkers was talking about Scientology because she didn't really know about it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I've got the that thing that's on there, the documentary about Scientology from HBO. What's the name?
Going Clear.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So Going Clear, and then something about Scientology. Yeah.
Are you serious? Still? Cantaloupe, Cantaloupe.
What the fuck? What are you doing? All right, man. Be cool. Be cool. Just...
What? What's going on?
That ugly corrections guy just pulled a gun on me.
I thought he left.
No, I mean... I let him watch. He seems to not have a lot going on in his life. He only ever talks about his mom. I figure... I mean, why not? It's just going to the bathroom. You know, we all do it, you know. But now this?
That's weird.
What about you? Are you okay? Anything weird on your end? Like fucking ginger fuck over here?
Yeah, that's pretty cool still. I mean, I got my you know, Grigio.
Of course.
And actually, my sister is in my doorway, and she's brandishing a machete.
Wow, that's not like her at all. She's usually pretty friendly. You don't think that this can be a coincidence, right?
No. Doubtful.
Now, I know this sounds crazy, and I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I feel like Andy has something to do with this.
I hate you guys.
Have you been there the whole time?
Yes.
I could have swore you left.
No, not yet.
Do you know anything about the ugly corrections guy with a gun or Allison holding a machete to my face?
I do, actually. I have, I came up with a plan for where this show is going from here on in. Josh is going to hate it. We're going to watch another show, and we're going to show Josh why it is the best.
It better not be the Big Bang Theory, because I have heard many people try to convince me about that, and I'll never accept that that show is anything but old people learning to stop hating nerds.
It's not a bad idea, but I have something much, much better in mind.